You about ready? Live from the beautiful boutique basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, this is Marty Ford with his own brand of Power Hour Before You Shower on bbsradio.com. bbsradio.com, a place where you can listen, laugh, and learn on You About Ready, hosted by me, Marty Ford. How's everybody today? I just got back from my twice and sometimes thrice weekly basketball game with the guys, pickup ball, because, you know, no matter how old and you get and how much your body is falling apart and how little you can contribute, you can still be out there getting a sweat, getting a burn, hanging with the guys, having fun, and releasing all those pent-up stresses, anxieties, and frustrations that build up inside and turn negative, very negative, if you don't do something about it. So if you want to call it my home group, if you want to call it therapy, whatever you want to call it, I just call it fun and my time in my world that no one can interrupt, violate, pollute, interfere with, and otherwise take me away. I've been out of it for a week because I am a bit wounded and somewhat crippled, but I am managing to recover, and I take it one day at a time, as we should do with all things in life, with some planning. In fact, I've started to cut short my playing time, which is probably the guys are thankful for that because, you know, they can put in a good player. But you know, I'm going to scale back a little bit for a while. Hopefully the body will heal, the legs will recover, and the foot, which is suffering multiple wounds, will heal a little bit in each wounded area. But anyway, we are here. We are live on bbsradio.com. Talk radio. Right now, most people are listening. We would like you to call into the station at 888-627-6008 if you have anything to comment on the topics we discuss, which are many and varied, and they don't always go in order because even though I like structure in my life, sometimes the brain doesn't always cooperate, and we tend to free flow, and that's all right. I wanted to talk about coffee. You know, and because coffee and those things called cigarettes that used to be cigarettes many years ago with tobacco, which some of it smelled good and maybe tasted good. I did smoke for a little bit, but I didn't like the smell on my fingers all the time because when I went to scratch my nose or something, it would smell disgusting. So I gave it up. But if you're in the coffee and cigarette habit and are complaining about money, please don't. The addiction of caffeine is probably greater than any addiction out there. Maybe not as deadly, but certainly as costly in many more things than just the money that you pay at the stores, whether it's the neighborhood bodega or the fancy name brand stuff that you see on the corners multiple places across the country. When I was in the service, I worked for a guy, and we had to be there at 7 o'clock. I was a young guy, relatively new. First assignment, and I wanted to make a good impression and do a good job. And I got there at about 6:45 because I'm from the old school. When practice was called for 10 o'clock, you were late if you were there at 6:45. Now kids come flying down the mountain and the hill and onto the field and carrying your cell phone, texting someone that they're going to be late. Anyway, times have changed and we can live with that. You have to be flexible in life. Little flexibility doesn't hurt. So anyway, I worked for this guy, Sergeant somebody. And I was first or second in line, and when he called me in to give me my assignment for the day, he just ripped up and down, backwards, sideways, inside out. I was like, whoa, what did I do? You know, I just woke up, showered, and came to work properly dressed. And so I did that for a day or two, and I said, you know, let me get smart a little. I was 19 or 20. So I would wait. I would wait till maybe 10 or 20 guys were ahead of me, and I would stand behind them and watch them get reamed up and down and inside out and all the other places as well. And then I noticed him, the good sergeant, a nice man, but until he had 2 thermos full of coffee, he was a monster. And after those 2 cups, he was just a regular guy. And you know what I said? I'll never let anything control me like that. Anything. Because it just takes you out of character, out of who you are, and makes you someone that really nobody likes to be around. He was awful. He was somewhat friendless, and the only people were nice to him because they had to. We had to work for him, but I would go in, get my assignment, and take off. So I learned at a very early age that, you know, why bother, you know, with that kind of stuff that could influence your life for a long time. Besides, in today's world, there's a lot of people complaining about not having money and so forth. And the status symbol of a coffee in a fancy container and a pack of cigarettes can get quite costly. Figure $7 or $8 for a pack of cigarettes. A lot of people smoke a pack a day. They have one or two coffees a day at $2 or $3 a piece, and it adds up to thousands. In fact, it could be well into the $3,000 and $4,000 a year or more, which could help offset the increase in your health insurance that's coming our way through the new healthcare system. I think was started or implemented, as the more corporate word is, a cliche word today, and people are just complaining who are finally understanding. Yeah, it's going to cost you more money, and you're not getting anything for it, because the people who are getting, if you don't have coverage, and you can get fined, I guess $100 or something, whatever that is, and they're never going to collect it anyway. So those folks who need to be covered, we want to take care of people. We don't want to deny anybody. They're getting whatever they want and need at our expense anyway, because it comes out of increased costs at the hospital for us or the doctors. And so now it's going to come in the form of another tax, which is applied to those who are unfortunate enough to be in a position where their health insurance is going to be increased. Not to say that my plan shouldn't be used, that I've spoken about 2 or 3 times in the past month, my national health care to your health system of implementing a streamlined, efficient, cost-effective health care plan, giving people, all people in America, the health care that we all want and need, so we can sleep good at night and protect our kids, especially when they're away from home, and also give you a chance to win some money in the national lottery. But I'm not going to get into that tonight. If you want to learn more about my national lottery and health care plan, call into the BBS radio station right here, 888-627-6008, or give me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. Hamp73@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to send you a one-page summary of my health care plan. Simple and effective with the infrastructure already in place. On the other end of health care, I remember when my wife was in the hospital giving birth to our kids, I would bring her medicine from home. And stupidly, the medical staff was in the room when I gave it to her, and they immediately confiscated it and said that they had to provide from their dispensary of medicine the same medicine that I brought in. Unfortunately, the cost differential was quite substantial, in that the medicine that we bought at the local pharmacy, with or without a plan, amounted to about 40 or 50 cents a pill. And the bill that I saw for one pill was $16 at the time. This is 22 years ago. I also remember a nurse going into the room down the hall, because I would wander in, while my wife was sleeping, to give her a break. I would wander around, and I saw a nurse go into a room with a cane and a walker. And just giving the patient a choice, you want the cane or you want the walker? So the guy said, I'll take the cane. And later on, he told me, that's going to cost $650. He was told that. Just that cane for that person coming in would be $650. Right. So what are we doing? We're front loading it with exorbitant fees. And then at the back end, we're doubling, tripling, quadrupling, or just escalating those fees beyond reality. Why should a cane and a visit from a nurse just to ask a question cost over $600? And how many times is that copied and multiplied throughout the country in the course of a week, a month, or a year? So there's a lot to be worked out here with the healthcare plan. And if you follow my simple plan, and let's get it worked into the people of power and influence who can make it happen. If you know somebody, have them call the radio station tonight or anytime, and they'll get a hold of me, or send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. All right. So the government shut down today, right? I thought there'd be an 11th hour saving. Like, I grew up in Philadelphia, and every year whenever there was a threat of a strike, especially the buses, sanitation workers, city employees, and so forth, they would always settle it miraculously at 11 o'clock, and coming out of the conference, mostly men, you know, the ties are off, the jackets are off, the shirts out, the 5 o'clock shadow is now a 11 o'clock shadow, and they got coffee stains on their shirt and so forth. But they settled it, and they had an interview and a press conference, and all the world was great, you know, because they settled it, knowing all along that they would. They were just getting people pumped up, as they say back in those days, and worried and concerned and frustrated. But in the end, it was saved. I thought the same thing would happen with the government right now. But you know what? Maybe with this shutdown, maybe things will start working more efficiently without all the waste, fraud, bribes, and corruption that goes on down there and around the country, right? If there's no business going on, they can't steal any more from us, right? And maybe some of it, we'll have a buildup. We'll have a surplus of money until they get back and then start dividing it up amongst themselves before we get past our meager tidings. And I'm always surprised when people talk about unemployment insurance. Well, you pay into that. You're getting paid by your own money, right? Don't be sold a bill of goods that it's some great opportunity, which it is. It's protection. I was on unemployment many years ago. It was helpful. It did help me get through some tough times. But the reality is you're almost made to feel guilty that you're getting paid with your own money. So don't be so frightened about that stuff. Last week, I forgot to do it again. I forgot to give you the answer to the Brain Bustle Critical Thinking riddle. And last week, I mentioned that how many days have 28 days in them? And of course, the answer is all of them, not just February. All of them have 28 days in them because some have 30 and 31. So that's the answer to that one. This week, the Brain Buster Critical Thinking, let's get going with your head working, is what does everyone leave behind when they exit the beach? When you're going home from the beach, what do you leave behind? And I will tell you that the answer is not trash, busted up furniture, another form, your football or your Frisbee. It's something we all, every person leaves behind, except maybe little kids, you know, little kids. That's a hint. I shouldn't give you a hint. I want you to think, because thinking is what makes it happen. When you critically think, you accomplish a lot. And when you become empowered, you accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And when you become empowered, you have control. You have control of your life. You have control of your situations, personal, professional, family, whatever it is. You have control. When you're in control, you win. When you don't have control, you do other things besides win. Think of the pitcher who can't find home plate with a strike. Right? He's going to the showers. God forbid your car goes out of control. Nothing good happens. So let's maintain control, balance, equilibrium, self-respect, dignity, and pride, and move on with our life. And while we're talking about that, what have you done for yourself this week? Have you done anything that we talked about in the past? Have you taken a walk? Have you lost a few pounds? Did you laugh? Did you play? Did you feel good about yourself, or do you feel better about yourself today than you did last week or 2 weeks ago or a month ago because you've been doing things for yourself to improve the quality of your life, like dropping a few pounds, maybe stopping smoking, maybe having two cups of coffee instead of four, maybe taking a bag lunch instead of buying it every day, putting more money in your pocket, right? Little things, the little things in life that you do help make you feel good about yourself and help you do other things as well, right? So you got to laugh, because there's not enough laughter out there. There's too much misery. Listen to these stories all over. Everybody has a story. It's not my fault. I'm not to blame. Come on, man. Get real with it. You do have accountability. Take responsibility. Own up to your shortcomings, right? And do something about it. Make amends with yourself. Have peace with yourself. Empower yourself. Make it happen. Make it possible. You can do all these things and have a good life for you and those in your world who you love and respect, trust, and you want in your world. Other than that, you're just risking the possibility of having people exit your world prematurely. And they don't want to do that. They want to be in your world. You want them in your world, right? So do things for yourself. Get up, get out, get going. No matter how old you are, no matter how you're feeling, when you want to sit there and say, oh, I don't want to go out, nothing for me to do out there, I'm bored, I'm frustrated. Oh, God, you're bored? You're going down. That's the number one enemy of the people, is boredom. When you're bored, you're frustrated, you're lonesome, you're lonely, you're all alone, whatever you are, you're not doing anything. Not saying you got to be active 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but you got to get up, get out, and get going. If not for you, then for the kids. Kids need to do that. I was talking to some folks today, and kids are just so structured, overstructured, micromanaged. They don't have enough time for play. And I've talked about this before on the show, and I'll talk about it every week, because I want you to become empowered so that you can empower someone else. And I want kids to get out and play. Shut off the electronics, the flat screen, anything, and get outside, right? No matter what the weather is, you can always find a half an hour to an hour to do something. Even if you're just taking a hike, looking for deer in the woods, or walking around your neighborhood, or going to a beach to refresh yourself, find your place in nature, because nature is very empowering, very soothing, very calming, very relaxing. There's power in nature. And if you don't think nature is powerful, take a broom to the beach and try to sweep away an ocean wave. It ain't going to happen, right? But at least you can go there and feel good about yourself. Breathe the salt air, smell some fish, look at some boats, look at the sky, look at other people, and just maybe take a nap. Zone out a little bit. Get out of your space and go find peace and tranquility in nature. An hour is what you need. Any of this stuff I tell you to do or I suggest you do, you're not doing it all day. If you can sit in front of a screen, whether at work for 8 hours or 10 hours, and at home for another 6 or 8 hours before you go to sleep, you can find an hour to do something to get yourself up, out, and going. Get up, get out, get going, and go do something. There's a ton of things. I don't know what you have. I can make a list here of 100 things right off the top of my head, but that, I don't want to do that. You know what you like. Go out and do it. And you'll feel good about yourself, and others will feel good about you for doing it. I was watching some of the bickering going on all the TV, which, by the way, is poor role modeling for kids who, if they do watch any of the TV, besides the bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up, destructive, counterproductive entertainment things that they watch, if they watch any of the news shows, even the local ones, there's just so much of that banter you can take, because now they put a topic out there, and especially when they have a legal case they're trying on TV, where the reporters on the screen, the multiple reporters, 4, 6, 8 of them, all talking heads in a little square box, all talking at the same time, no one getting their point across, no one really having anything to say of substance, because, you know, nowadays everybody's talking like they got something to say, but nothing really comes out when they move their lips, nothing but a bunch of gibberish. I'm paraphrasing one of the greatest poets of our modern time. You might know him as a rapper and a movie star, and his name is Eminem, and he's phenomenal with that one line. Nowadays, everybody's talking like they got something to say. Even me, right here on bbsradio.com, I'm doing a lot of talking, but it's talking in hopes that you're going to do something about with this talk for yourself, not just sit there and listen to 4 to 6 to 8 talking heads bicker, badger, and just belittle each other because you're not letting me finish. Let me make my point. And they just sit there like four-year-olds arguing at the playground about who's next on the swing. And you know what? Four-year-olds can settle it a lot better than these so-called highly educated, intelligent adults. They're setting bad role models. Shut that stuff off. Don't let your kids see it, or let them see it and explain to them that this isn't the way people actually communicate, right? They don't communicate like that. And Eminem is right on top. I think that song must have come out 10 years ago where he has that famous line about nowadays. Listen to it. I'll break it down. I'm paraphrasing. And don't sue me for using Eminem's line right here because I'm wrong. It's nowadays. Everybody's talking like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Nothing but a bunch of gibberish. And there's more. And he has a beat to it and rhythm. And he's a big celebrity. And I'm sitting here in the beautiful boutique basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station. But my point is, there's just too much talk out there and no one's saying anything. What the heck do we need a 3-hour pregame show on the sports channels, then watch a 3 to 4 hour game, and then have a 2 to 3 hour postgame show with interviews and having the reporters asking the coaches or the players all these questions that they'd rather not be answering, giving almost pat answers and in trying to elicit from those team members things that they really don't want to say. Listen to that stuff. It's annoying and frustrating, and I bet it's in the contract of the coaches and some of the marquee players to do that. Maybe there's an incentive in there. And also the interviews at the end of a quarter or a period in basketball, when they grab the coach, hey, coach, and the guy's going in, everybody's, he wants to talk to his players about what's going on. And here's the sideline reporter asking, what do you have to do? What are you going to change? What do you, and he's like got a million things on his mind, but he smiles. Sometimes they don't even look at the reporter. They're looking up in the stands, looking at the sky, looking at their toes. I don't know what they're looking at, but they don't want to be there, and you can tell. But I'm sure that it's part of league policy to bleed every second and minute and get every molecule of information out to the public. Correct or incorrect, doesn't matter, as long as it's out there and gives people something to talk about, because we have to fill time. There's 24 hours in a day, and those TV stations, those news shows and all those programs have to fill it. Stuff is not news, right? A guy with a food truck that has to park three blocks down today because they're cutting the grass in front of his usual spot, that's not news. And you don't have to interview people who are inconvenienced by walking an extra block or two to get their multi-layered stuffed sandwich, which, by the way, when it's stuffed with, you know, the chicken patty, the hamburger patty, the chicken nuggets, the chicken fingers, the mozzarella sticks, the lettuce, tomato, onions, pickles, peppers, when it's all said and done and squished together, I don't know what you're tasting. Maybe you taste the bread, but I think you taste the ketchup or the dipping sauce, whatever is more appealing to you. But there's certainly nothing unique to taste that. Oh, I forgot the bacon is in there as well. And these cooking shows, let me tell you something. These guys are going to stroke out on air. I'm telling you, just put some more fat and some more butter and some more lard and some more grease and oil and load it up with the two dangerous white powdery substances, salt and sugar. And just fill it up. Oh, it tastes so good. Let me get it out of my beard because it looks disgusting. And let me have 47 ounces of steak in about 15 minutes. And like, this is what's out there. And we're watching this and we're thinking it's entertainment. It's gluttony. Like everything out there, we're overdoing it. Too much of a product. Get out, get up, get out, get going, get away from that stuff. I do watch some of it. I watch the Gator Boys. And they did get, I do watch those new Gator Boys, and they're a lot better than the other Gator Boys, because the other Gator Boys would reel them in with a fishing line and then shoot them. Now, someone had to get upset at that. I'll tell you who got upset at that is my good buddy Monroe Devro. Monroe's here. Monroe, where you been? Well, I was out on the interstate highways of the United States of America. I travel all around with my big old rig and my on a trailer, I put my Ford F-150 4x4 pickup truck with all kinds of stuff, rack and pinion steering, I think, and I got my shotgun all stuck on the back window just in case there's some bad guys out there. Now, I'm licensed and I'm proper, and I don't want to use it, but I will if I have to. So I'm out there on a beautiful interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower, for doing that for us after World War II. And I'm all over these beautiful interstates in the beautiful, wonderful United States of America. And I'm reciting my songs. I'm driving by myself, singing and laughing and on my radio. And nobody's telling me to shut up. And no one, I'm not embarrassing everybody. And I'm just out there doing everything like that. And that's a wonderful thing. And I also like them beautiful interstate highways in the United States of America because they're beautifully adorned. How do you like that word for a good old boy driving the truck? They're adorned with wonderful wildflowers that beautiful Lady Bird Johnson put out many years ago. If you can have a highway, why not make it pretty? And she had those wildflowers put out all over. And now I'm just out there by myself because sometimes I just go on and ramble like ladies and gentlemen, hobos and tramps, knock-knee mosquitoes and bow-legged ants. I stand before you and I not stand behind you. I'm here to address you, not to undress you. I'm here to tell you something I know nothing about. Last night, an empty truck loaded with bricks come around the corner, run over my dead cat and damn near killed it. Went around the corner, saw a little Jack Horner eating vinegar with a fork. Next Thursday, which is Good Friday, there's a men's meeting for women only. There's no admission pay at the door. Bring your own chair and sit on the floor. Well, this here is Monroe Devro, and I'm back on my truck out on the beautiful highways and the interstates of the United States of America. I'm heading down to Shenandoah Valley, maybe going up Skyline Drive. I'll see you next time on BBSRadio.com with your host, of this wonderful show, You About Ready. Well, thanks for stopping by, Monroe. Monroe Devereaux, everybody. Always enlightening. That was a good old boy. I met many a good old boy, and that's how I got to learn about the good old boys, right? They're fun people. They're exciting people. They're welcoming people. They're humble people, right? Sometimes we get stuck in our own world, and we think everybody's like us, right? I was lucky. When I was in the service, I met a lot of good old boys, and they were part of my crew. We drank every night, and those guys really upset me because I would drink one or two beers, put on 10 pounds. They would drink 10 beers and lose weight. They would out-eat me, everything out there. A lot of starch, a lot of meat, and I would eat a little bit, put on weight, and they would eat and lose weight. Drive me crazy, but that's their metabolism. That's who they were. I also met a lot of black folks, right? The black guys I mentioned before, the black guys on my football team. Wonderful men. Miss them like brothers. Love them like brothers. I wish I'd been 40 years since I've seen them. But now all we have is negative race relations, right? We shared wine before the game. We passed the bottle. Everybody took a sip. I told you that before. It was great. We like hung out with each other in the white part of town and the black part of town, right? And it was safe. Never had a problem. And so if we would accentuate the positive instead of just feeding on the negativity when it comes to race relations, you know, we'd be a lot better off, right? Maybe we can all get along. I don't know. But we get pumped up by the media when they make something out of nothing because they got to fill 24 hours of news. So they got to make a story out of something that is really nobody's business. It's insignificant and unimportant. Speaking of being pumped up, I made a list last week of modern day curse words, right? And I said something like, George Carlin's famous seven words that you can't say in public or on TV. Well, they don't curse words. I mean, yeah, they are. People should be delicate and discreet when they use them. And I came up with my list last week, and I've added four or five to build the glossary or the dictionary of modern day curse words. Last week we had same page, transparency, the next level. Let me be honest with you, that goes way back. At the end of the day, the most notorious one. I sit in a meeting every day with a bunch of people, and I'd say if there's 10 people, three or four will have their input, and at the end of the day, it's coming out. At the end of the meeting, they're talking about the end of the day. And the one that's overly used and abused everywhere you go, it's amazing. Doesn't that look amazing? Doesn't that sound amazing? Doesn't that taste amazing? No, it doesn't. It's only that way because you're telling us that. Don't believe all that stuff. Nothing is that amazing. What's amazing is if you're not watching all that stuff, listening to that stuff, and you're getting up, you're getting out, and you're getting going, well, you become empowered. You don't need to have that stuff in your life. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. That goes back, way back, to my days of working in the supermarket many years ago. And we had in going forward and moving forward, and we had, of course, all in. Now, all in is a big problem. There are many people, especially the guys out there, who can't go all in because they're both micro and soft. Their bodies in particular, Herm the Worm, that little bald-headed one-eyed devil, just doesn't cooperate, can't compute, which is why they become bullies and drive big SUV, giant trucks, because they have to show their stuff. They got to yell and scream and badger it at each other. Look at them on TV going over all these political issues, shutting down the government and healthcare and so forth. They yell, scream, rant, rave, point fingers, gesture, everything, calling names. The other guy's this, you're that, blah, blah, blah. You know what? After they're finished everything, they go out and have dinner. And they put it on their expense account, which we pay for. Whoa, where's that going? How does that happen? I'd rather watch wrestling. At least you know what's going on. And it doesn't cost you anything except your cable bill. But these leaders that we have out there who are bullies, who might be both micro, in fact, a lot of leaders are both micro and soft. Just look at them. We should have a leader convention. All these people in charge, in positions of power and influence and so forth, should all get together and just drop their pants and see what reality is, right? Then we'll have truth, right? You're making up for deficiencies by being a bully, whatever position you are. I mean, where is it written? How is it possible? How does it come about that these leaders worldwide just eliminate thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of millions of people? They're killing them, their own people. Are they that inadequate? Right? don't they get satisfied by the pornography that they participate in, whether they're in person viewing or watching it on movies? I mean, Bin Laden had porn in his cave, so we're told, right? Maybe it was planted there. Who knows what the truth is anymore? I think once Photoshop came in, you can't believe anything. And I think the National Enquirer probably goes back. Don't sue me for mentioning that, but magazines like that, I should say, or journals like that, with all their cutting and pasting many years ago, and it's blossomed into something much greater, where you don't know what is true. You know, it used to be you believe half of what you see and nothing you hear, and you'd be fine. I don't even know if half of what you see is good anymore, because who can you trust? I don't know. So, so we have the leaders out there, and they should just drop it in a room with each other and see where everything falls. Chances are they're going to be both micro and soft. Now, there is medicine for that that's covered by insurance for men. And until recently, I don't think medicine for women was covered for birth control, but I think it is now because men make the rules. So why should the women? We can charge women, but we'll get it for free. No different than those people on the Hill with their arrogance and leadership in politics putting on a nice show for us, thinking that they're entertaining and informing, but really just making fools of themselves as they continue to put out a bunch of gibberish and have nothing real to say. Do they really care about us? Oh, yeah, they do. Once they get what they want and what they have. Once they get theirs, they're good. Excuse me, Mrs. Pelosi, right? She was interviewed one time. Why is it you and your incestuous fraternity of peers, that wasn't the question, that's my interpretation. Why is it that you and your incestuous fraternity of peers can take advantage of insider trading? Oh, I see. Because you can. That's what you're saying. Because you can. Because I guess you make the laws that give you the power to do that. But anybody out there on the street, your constituency, the people who pay for all your health insurance and security and safety and everything else that you're on the dole for, that we pay for, you make the rules so you can take advantage of insider trading, but we can't, right? Why they put Martha Stewart away, I don't know. There was much more to it than that. According to that great document in Washington, D.C., written many, many years ago, all men are created equal. Actually, it should be equally. I think if there's any grammarians, any people who know the language, I don't even know if they teach grammar anymore, but I think if it was properly written, maybe I'm wrong, which I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. Maybe it should be equally instead of just equal. Anyway, yeah, we might be created equal, but after that, it's every man for themselves, every person for themselves, unless you're part of that incestuous fraternity that I mentioned before. So I don't know how to resolve that, except we just have to hope for the best. So I wanted to add my new curse words, formerly called cliches, and I went down the list, and of course I got distracted, but that's okay. The new ones this week are level playing field. Have you ever heard that one? A level playing field. That's what we want for everybody. Unfortunately, that's like all men are created equal or equally. It just does. It sounds good, but it just doesn't happen because everybody wants an advantage, like in tennis, on your side. Right? You want the advantage. You don't want to be down. Step up. We have to step up. We have to step our game up. We have to step up to the plate and do something positive and good for the people. Well, we tell them that, but we really don't do it. And then, of course, in sports, I've been hearing a lot about dial up or ramp up. The quarterback's going to dial up a play. Well, phones don't even dial anymore. I don't know what people dial. Is there a radio dial? We don't turn it. We push a button. So dial up and ramp up. Let's get ramped up. Get them all excited, juiced, energized, right? So more gibberish can come out. But I do love football. I love all sports. I love watching it. Actually, I've been watching it with the sound off. It's much more entertaining. I can almost call the game myself and predict what those people in the booth and on the sidelines are going to say, right? It's just sad that we've almost have cliche all over and predictable speech all over. Where is the creativity? Where is someone who is not a Me Too person? Is there anybody out there? Please step up. Step up. There you go. Come forward. Move forward. Do something. But find a place for yourself out there. Maybe it's bbsradio.com. And you can call in bbsradio.com at 888-627-6008 and become a person who is not a Me Too person. When everybody's got, my wife taught me this a while back. We would go to the stores, maybe a mall, and we'd enter. And, of course, me being right-handed and everything, we'd go to the right. And she said, no, she's right-handed as well. But she learned to go to the left. And that really was wonderful. In modern-day language, cliche, curse word, it was amazing that she brought that into our world. Go the opposite way. Take the road not taken. Find out what's out there. Go opposite. Don't be a Me Too. If everybody's having a hamburger, maybe you should have a portobello mushroom sandwich as well. But not pay $10 for it. What the heck is that about? Can't even go out to eat and get a simple meal without it costing $30 or $35, $40. God forbid you have a beer, a glass of wine, or a dessert, or an appetizer. Now you really pumped up the bill. And anyway, the last one for this week, I'm sure I'll hear more next week, is best in class. Oh, I have another one, state of the art. I don't know what state you're doing your art in, and I don't know what that means, but apparently it means it's new, it's modern, it's got all the features of technology or comfort or pleasure. But best in class, it's best in class. It's a hot dog. It's not best in class. It's just a hot dog. Enjoy it with whatever you want. By the way, please do not put ketchup on your hamburger. Not on your hamburger, on your hot dog. Excuse me. Please don't put ketchup. I think it's illegal in some places. There must be a law against it. Mustard goes, and relish goes, and onions. But nowadays, with all the gibberishes out there, thanks to the fast food restaurants, your two all beef patty, special sauce, cheese, lettuce, onions on a sesame seed bun is loaded with everything. Whatever it is loaded up. You're not going to taste anything. And maybe you won't, if you have one that's old, maybe it won't have the pink slime in it that is circulating through the food industry now, the hamburger and the fast food place. You can read about it. Just type in pink slime and just be disgusted with the rest of us. Let's see, we talked about differences. Oh, the differences between men and women, the difference between a house and a home, and my favorite, the difference between offensive and defensive linemen, which was last week's topic. This week, we want to talk about the difference between religion and spirituality. Now, I've attended many seminars and lectures and read a lot about spirituality. I still don't know what the hell it is. And religion, well, that's a defined, definitive, organized, structured group of people with a common ground, right? You have, and it's good for certain things, making you feel good about yourself, certainly. If you go and sing and chant some hymns, you always feel better when you do that. That's why people sing in the car and sing in the shower and sing by themselves, because it makes you feel good. Your breathing comes down. Your heart rate goes down when you're singing along with the song. I'm not a doctor. I just believe in that. But religion is too structured. It has rules, and you might not agree with all of them. A lot of people don't agree with their clergy leadership, as we don't agree with a lot of leadership in the world. But we tolerate it, and that's a shame. But in spirituality, you have power. You have the power, the same power that people who are we elect to government positions have. They have the power of definition. The poverty level today is a family of four earning $25,000 or less. Someone defined that. Some actuary sitting in an office crunching numbers, working late for probably making minimum wage, probably the back clerk intern who's not paid, comes up with a formula, right, that creates definition. And so that's defined. But you have the power to empower yourself in your own spiritual world. You can bring in whatever you want. Whatever makes you feel good about yourself and not have any criticism, not have anybody say it's wrong, don't do that. You're creating it. Some of us can't. We like to be followers, and you should be a leader. To become empowered, you need a little bit of self-leadership. Not that you're going to be president of the United States or anything like that, but having some leadership abilities in your own world to create a spiritual world. Doing the things that make you feel good about yourself and not feel guilty. Because a lot of religion is based on guilt. I'm not going to get into that now because I'll probably upset or offend some religions or cultures or nationalities or something. But we all know what that heavy-duty guilt does. It makes us crazy. Relieve yourself of that burden. Come into the spiritual world. And you can do that very simply by empowering yourself, by making a goal, planning to achieve it, and then achieving it, and then having reasons to define your success instead of excuses to explain your failure. Spirituality allows you that freedom. No one can come into it. It's like, it's my world. You can't come in and violate it or pollute it, as I mentioned before, because I define it. And I can invite you in if you're welcome to stay. That's good. If you want to chat about it, you want to agree or disagree, that's fine too. But we're not set in concrete rules. We have flexibility. And the most important thing we eliminate is the guilt of not doing and participating on a regular schedule, because people don't do that anymore. They, you know, many people attend their house of worship out of guilt, fear, right? Because it's been instilled in us, and we learn about other types of religions from other people. When we go to our religion, hopefully they talk nice about it, but I've been in many other religious services where they don't talk so friendly about people who are not of their like kind. The most important thing about religion is a social component. If you're living in Pennsylvania and for some reason you have to move to Colorado, one of the first things you do, especially if you have kids, is you're going to join a house of worship that is the same as you had in your original place of living. Right? Because why? Like kind. And you're meeting a social network of people with similar beliefs, culturally, religiously, musically, values, morals, all that stuff out there. Ethics, well, I don't know how much of ethics are out there, because many of the houses of worship commit the most heinous crimes out there. And you know, there's proof of that everywhere. And we don't have to just go to Penn State or religious organizations. I played basketball with a guy about 20 years ago, and one of the most angry people I'd ever met. Angrier than that crazy guy who didn't have his two cups of coffee, who was fighting his addiction to caffeine, even though he wasn't addicted. Maybe there should be a program for caffeine recovery, right? Anyway, this guy was just brutal on the court, pushing and shoving and throwing elbows and arms and his body. And he was a rather big guy in height and weight, and just miserable. And then I found out he was a victim of abuse at the local parish. And there were two others who used to come and play with us as well. They weren't as angry, but they were. You could tell that they were a little different. And after the truth was known, after it was out, after one of the brothers of one of these guys walked in front of a train and took himself out of the game, now there's a park bench to memorialize him, and the parish goes on, and people still support it, like they do Penn State and other institutions, because I guess it's not the institution, it's the people behind it who they allow to let these things happen, sort of maybe hiding them out, and that's not good, because when you mess with kids, you're evil, and you don't belong on the outside world. And we should be doing something more about that, because when you mess with kids, you have no right. You give up your right to do anything, because our kids are our future. They're our most precious treasures. And I get very upset when I read stuff like that, that kids have been violated. And I know firsthand the result and effect of those things, and it's not pretty. And a lot of times it's multi-generational. And a lot of times kids who have been victims of that turn into predators themselves and repeat the same, and it's just sad. But I'm no expert. I just know that kids need to play. Kids need to have fun. Families need to know that their kids are in a safe, secure environment with leadership who they can trust and not have to look over their shoulders. That's why parents don't send their kids to the park anymore to play. We're afraid of the bad guys. They're out there. You're darn right. And kids are being robbed of that innocence of youth. That's why they're stuck in front of a flat screen TV doing all the electronic stuff when they should be out playing, not working on their, I mean, yeah, doing their homework and learning and growing as young men and women. But the reality is there's not enough play. There's not enough laughter. That's why I asked you before in the beginning, Did you laugh this week? Did you play? Did you do something to make you feel good about yourself? Did you take a walk? Did you lose a few pounds? Right? Did you make a commitment to yourself to do something? You don't have to be in recovery. I harp on recovery a lot. I mention a lot because I'm very familiar. I've got many years working with people trying to overcome obstacles and the struggle of recovery. Some are successful and some are not. But with the continuous energy they give to their recovery, they're losing a lot, and very few laugh. They can't laugh at themselves. They can't get those deep belly laughs. You know, do you ever laugh at something you don't even know what you're laughing about, but tears come out of your eyes, your muscles hurt in your stomach, and nothing comes out when you open your mouth? We don't have that, right? We have too much hostility, anger, a lot of anger in the world. Guys are angry because they can't go all in because they're micro and soft. Boy, there's a lot of anger right there. And women feel the brunt of that. Women feel the brunt of that. And I think if the women were given an opportunity to speak reality of their situations with those in their life who are so angry, that help ruin and destroy their life and families and so forth, we'd have a lot more opportunity for healing. Because healing takes the rest of your life. Anyone out there in recovery must know and internalize recovery from anything. I don't care. Like, I'm recovering from a lot of injuries. I'm in recovery for the rest of my life. As I mentioned before, I'm changing the way I approach the way I play. Maybe I won't play on Saturdays. I'll give that up, especially with the colder weather coming. And I won't stay for 2 hours playing. If I get an hour and 15, a couple of good runs, get a good sweat, get a good burn, I'll leave because I want to give my body time to heal. I'm not going to cure anything, but the healing process can take place and be consistent if I don't overextend and abuse my body. So once those in recovery internalize the fact that they're going to be in recovery the rest of their lives, that's half the battle. Then you have something to work with. But if you're going to sit on it, harp on it, just belabor the point every day, oh, woe is me, you're going nowhere. And there's only two places you can go in life, nowhere and somewhere. Given the opportunity and the choice, most people would choose to go somewhere. Unfortunately, they might not know where that somewhere is. That's why you need to understand that the enemy of us all is boredom. And when you're active, when you're getting up, you're getting out, you're getting going, you're involved, you're participating, you don't have time to be, yeah, you're thinking about it, but you're not overly concerned about it. You're aware of it. Concern and awareness are two different things. As long as you're aware, you have heightened awareness, you'll be successful and accomplish more than you ever thought possible, and you will become empowered. So get out of your rut. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Do something for yourself and become empowered. And then you won't be angry. And then perhaps the guys can get all in, right? And you'll be happy too. Both participants and the world around you will be better as well. And sometimes you just have to adopt the philosophy of my good old boy, Monroe Devereaux, who taught me many years ago that you got to raise hell, little children, because there ain't no heaven, no way. Get out and go do something. Don't worry about what's going to might happen in the future, in the years from now and so forth. Go out, have fun, play, paint your face, put on a Halloween's coming up. Your alter egos are going to be coming out. You'll see it all over. Oh, I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. That's not even kids. Halloween's not a kid's celebration anymore. It's more for so-called grown-ups to have their, like I said, alter ego come out, and dress up in a costume, whether it's gender-specific or not. You can be whatever you want to be. So if you can do it for one night during the year of Halloween, why can't you be whatever you want to be and whoever you are every day, right? Every day you can be that. Not the whole day. Maybe you have to act a little bit like do some role playing to get through the day because you got a boss who stinks in his office. So you got to smile and while you're saying other things under your breath. You got to eat some crow once in a while, but to keep your job so you can pay for your health care, because that's why a lot of people are working out there just for their health care, and the rates are going to go up anyway, as they do every year. I wish they would go up equally with salaries as they are with health care. Because they can almost raise them randomly. Rent control is limited in some areas to a certain percentage, maybe 2% a year or 1.5% a year or 5% over 3 years, whatever it is. But the healthcare industry just running wild. because they're paying $650 for someone, a nurse, to come in and give a guy a choice if he wants a cane or a walker. And I had to pay $16 for a 40-cent pill that I brought from home for my wife. And I'm sure there's many more examples out there. You have them. So why not give us a call at bbsradio.com, 888-627-6008, or send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. This is Marty Ford on You About Ready. It's our weekly live show on BBS Radio. And I just want to discuss something with you that I read in the paper. Do you realize it cost, this is New York City, I read it in the local paper out there. Incidentally, if you're an investor working with money, all this kind of stuff, your stocks and so forth, just be careful, because when there's accounting irregularities, it's time to get out. That's a signal that it's time to get out of whatever. Accounting irregularities means someone's stealing the money. I think we have a lot of that down in our world. And by the way, how can the post office stay in business? How the heck can you lose millions of dollars every year? Who funds it? Where's the money come from? Where's the cash flow? You know, I don't understand that. I run out of money. I can't pay some. I don't go after it. I wait till I have some money. But I'm not that smart in macro or microeconomics. Maybe my kids will take some classes and explain it to me. But I think you have to stick with the basics. Anyway, I saw this article about how much it costs for kids to go to college. I'm familiar with that firsthand, and it's not cheap. And you have to beg, borrow, steal, scrape, work an extra job or two, and work till I'll be working till I'm 100 if I live that long. And I'll be happy to do it, because our kids come first and we love them. And we want them to do for their kids what we're doing for us. That is the high sign of respect. There was a commercial many years ago for something, I don't know what it is, but a young couple got married. The father-in-law goes up to the husband and gives him an envelope. The kid opens up the envelope and he said, "Geez, I can never pay you back. How can you do this? So generous, so kind." And you know what the father-in-law said? "You don't pay it back. You don't pay it back to me. You do it for your kids." And that's what you have to do. For the next generation, we have to give them something to work with. Just like you have to give a teacher something to work with in elementary school. Don't let your kid go to school without being prepared. Read him the books. Take him to places. Show him what a lion and a tiger is. Throw a ball. Kick a ball. Ride a bike. Go swimming. Do things with kids. Educate your kids with the basics. Numbers, shapes, colors, and letters. So they go to school prepared. You give the teacher something to work with. God, teachers, they have so many ways to measure their success rates and so forth. I don't know how you do that. How do you work with a kid who comes in hungry, unloved, from an abusive situation, and expect them to do the same work as the other kids who come in from environments not like that? Yeah, there's alternative placements for them. It's very costly. But where's the accountability of the home? It all starts with the family. It's the family is the center point, the focal point, the source of strength in any society and culture. And I don't know if we realize that in our culture, because we're too busy with our electronics, too busy drinking $3 and $4 cups of coffee every day and complaining we don't have enough money to do something, right? We're overmanaging our kids as well. You can go overboard. You know, I remember I was registering our kids because there was a panic. I might have mentioned this one time. If you go to the archives, you can hear all my previous shows, You About Ready, hosted by Marty Ford, that's me, on bbsradio.com. And I know I'm getting old. I'm repeating myself, because I think that's the second thing to go is the mind. So go listen to some of my previous shows and you'll hear some of the same things. But I remember I had to get in line at 6 o'clock in the morning. I got there a quarter of, and I was fifth in line to register the kids for camp, because God forbid they didn't get registered. We'd have to play with them all day, every day. But I got them in camp. It was fine. But there were three or four women ahead of me, all dressed in their tennis attire with their SUVs waiting and running, and they were exchanging checks. And one of the four women was going to the tennis place to register the kids there. One was going to the swim to do that, register the kids there. And the other was going to dance class to register the kids there. So the kids would get out of camp from, let's say, 8:30 till 12:30, 1 o'clock. and be going right to gymnastics or tennis or swim or dance or music. And I don't know when they had time to play, because by the time they got home, 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night, and the movie went on, or the Xbox or not went on, or whatever game they have, they were done. They didn't have a chance to have sort of free play, unstructured, unsupervised, unscheduled, just play. They don't know how to do that, because they never did it. Play is such an integral part of life, and we've taken it from the kids. We've not let them do it by themselves on their own without multiple so-called grown-ups supervising them, yelling, screaming, and badgering the kids to do this or go there or put this on or don't play with that or whatever it is. No different than the things you see on the news networks, the people doing the same thing, being hostile toward each other, and then going out on air, and then going out and having lunch that we pay for. So anyway, in New York City, I think that's what NYC means. New York City is an expensive place, but we have just learned that, and we know that college costs a lot of money. That is a lot of time. Most of the time, it has to be paid back unless you're one of the fortunate ones who get forgiven on their loans. It costs I'm quoting here right from the newspaper that came out today. $167,731 cost last year to keep a person in prison, right? Which is almost, well, the article says it's nearly as much as it costs to pay for 4 years of tuition in an Ivy League college. I think it's more to go to the college. But even so, we're spending $167,000 to keep somebody in jail. Well, what's wrong with that? I don't understand. Why does it cost so much? Is it the same deal as health insurance, where it costs $16 for a pill that should cost 25 cents or 30 cents? How does it get where? Who's making the money? Because prisons are now not run by government institutions. They're privatized. It's a business. In fact, I think a judge just got convicted and is going to jail himself because he was in bed with a prison corporation, and this judge was sending people to their prisons, filling their beds. At $167,000 a year, that's a lot of money. I'm sure the people who work there aren't being paid that exorbitantly. So the money's going somewhere, right? And I don't know if they're publicly held companies where you have to account to the shareholders. I don't know what's going on. I'm too ignorant and stupid. I'm just shocked to see that it costs $167,000 to keep a person in prison, where I think in a lot of schools, to educate a kid, we spend $8,000-$10,000 a year, maybe more, $15,000-$20,000. And in some of the districts that don't produce post high school attendance in college by kids, they get a lot of money too. And you know what their cry is? Well, we would do better if you gave us more money. Oh, really? You need more money, and you have a very low percentage of your kids going on to post-secondary or college or trade school or business school. You want more money to – oh, boy, we don't go into that. If you listen to one of my shows before, you'll hear me describe a situation that happened like 35 years ago when I got out of college, where I was exposed to fraud as a long-term substitute teacher in a high school, where I was told I had to change my accurate records of attendance or else the school wouldn't get money for federal programs that provided a lunch that was eaten, and then the kids would take off and be not in attendance. And at the end of school, you'd have two kids in your class with a roll of about 18 or 25 or whatever the numbers were. So we're paying $167,000. You know what? I think people should leave nursing homes who can, and just go to jail. You get better treatment, right? You get better treatment. You get more, and it doesn't cost as much. Well, at $167,000 a year, yeah, that's quite costly. But if you compare, somebody had written something a while back. Maybe I'll look for it if I have it in the files here and talk about it next week, the difference in living in a jail and a nursing home and how people are treated, as almost non-people, non-existing people in a nursing home, and has nothing more than a dollar sign and a number. The number used to be, I guess, the ID number, or whatever that number is called, but now it's a dollar sign number. So I thought that was quite interesting and quite disturbing to have that kind of money spent when we have people going to bed hungry tonight, especially kids. We don't have medicine for some kids. They don't get their shots. And it's just does seems to be an out of balance with priorities in what we do with our money. And certainly that's evident down in Washington, where they spend all the money for themselves first, and then whatever's left over, they dribble out to us. I just have a question I want to put out there. Maybe somebody will call in the future. We'd like to hear from some people. Did I give out the phone number? 888-627-6008. This is Marty Ford on bbsradio.com. You can call in to the station. They'll forward the call to me. Or you can send me an email if you want to work that way at hamp73@gmail.com. What did I want to say before we go? I wanted to know. I was watching some of these. I like the nature shows. I'm not too happy about watching animals being slaughtered by other animals for food, but that's nature, so you have to go along with it. I'd rather watch that than the 6 o'clock news that has the same thing, only it's people involved doing stupid things, and animals know how to survive better than we do. But I want to know, where are the cameras and all these nature shows, National Geographic, Animal Planet, Planet Earth, where are the cameras and the camera crew on these shows? How can, in the middle of nowhere, the tundra up there, as they follow a polar bear traveling all through the wilderness and barrenness up there, where are those cameras and how are those people surviving up there? And how long does it take to wait to find a moth, you know, or a fish or anything, a bird, following the hummingbirds? Right, I saw one the other night, the hummingbirds. It's incredible. I would like to know that. If anybody has the tricks of the trade out there, I hope it's not fake. I hope it's real. I hope it's not done in a studio. Because as more and more things are exposed in our world, I'm having less and less trust out there. And the one place I can still have trust, I don't want to put all my trust in it, because you never know. But I'm pretty loyal to them, and that's Consumer Reports magazine. If someday the story breaks that Consumer Reports has been taking gratuities or anything else from companies they survey, then all hope is gone. We're done as a society and a culture. We might as well revolt, which we're not far from a revolution. Just wait. You know, we came here because of taxation without representation. We started this country where all men are created equal or equally, depending on your preference academically. And now we have taxation with representation, and I don't know if it's any better, right? What's the difference? They're going to confiscate it anyway. And you don't want to be bitter or nasty about it, but let's just be fair. That's why my health plan works, because it's fair for everybody. And yeah, there'll be people with their hands in the kitty trying to take advantage of it. We can get rid of them. They don't have to be part of it. They can take themselves out of the game, just as those who are not treating kids right should be taken out of the game, so kids can be kids and play and move on with their life, learn, grow, and have fun. So let's have a goal for next week. Why don't you do something for yourself that makes you feel good about yourself, right? Whatever that is, start a project, create something. Do something that you've been wanting to do for a long time, and now you have an opportunity to do it, so go do it. Find some peace in nature. Create a spiritual world for yourself. Get out of the rut. Don't go in the move away from the blame game. Take advantage of the opportunities that are out there. Overcome an obstacle. Learn from somebody. Listen, learn, and laugh. You can do that with Marty Ford on bbsradio.com. Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Marty Ford on bbsradio.com, leaving you with the same thought every week. And I want you to power up your power, because the power is in you.